Blog Talk Radio.
Shakespeare. I am here in the studio. Of course, many of you already know that I'm battling with something in my bronchial and my throat. It's very sore, and I don't know where this came from and how I caught it. It's just on me. Of course, I'm trying my best to do all I can. Conference is going forth this week and all that kind of thing, but you all just pray with us as we go here today, and we're going to see how God takes us and where he leads us in this show today. I love each of you, and I thank God for you chiming in today. All right, praise the Lamb of God. I want to share with you all that this fast is so very, very important, and no matter how the enemy attacks, whether it's physically, spiritually, mentally, psychologically, economically, however he attacks, it's a deception. And make sure that you recognize that as you go forth in these 50 days. his deception is so very real in the fact of the way that he attacks you. But as far as it doing you harm, the Lord has your hand, and the Lord's hand is upon you, and you have to know that you're covered in the blood of Jesus, and that all is well. I thank and praise God for each of your prayers on last night, as I posted last night after I came in from the conference with chills and all of that kind of stuff. Of course, I'm doing everything I can to, kick this thing, but when you're sinus is just running and everything is just doing what it does, all you can do really is go through the motions and take what you can to try to offset the symptoms and things of that nature until the storm pass over. So continue to pray for us, to praise the Lamb of God, that the Lord would continuously use us and allow this to lift off of us quickly. Praise God. I'm here because I love you guys, and I know what a wonderful time we've been having in the Word of God, and hopefully, praise the Lamb of God, we will be able to do what is necessary today to get through the show so that things can, move along in the normal fashion. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love each of you today. Praise God. I'm going to need a volunteer prayer, someone who will pray for us today. You will push one on your dial and pray for us and lead us in prayer. If you would do that for us, thank you so much, son. I see you there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brett, for being here. How you doing, prophet. Son?
I'm all right, prophet. I hear
wonderful.
You over there battling with this cold, your little sinus infection. I'm rolling with you today.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you for being here, man. I tell you, it's a mess. But, I've chose to worship. I've chose to praise him. And, in spite of whatever, my heart and my mind is not sick. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. My spirit is not feeling bad at all. So I thank and praise God for this time. It just hit me so all of a sudden last night. And, standing there and the chills came over me. I said, oh, Lord, this is not good. And the weather just changed so drastically yesterday, We praise God for this time that we share. Man of God, lead us to the throne of grace. Praise God. And take us to that place where we need to be in the praise the Lamb of God in this show, praying for our sick and our shut-in, praying for those, praise the Lamb of God, who are not, praise the Lamb of God, where we are, hallelujah, in their faith and things of that nature, but we know that God is strengthening them, praying for those that's on the fast, those that's in penal institution, hospital wards, hallelujah, those that's dealing with grief in this hour, which there's a lot of that going forth. We're praying, hallelujah, for the supernatural move of God, for the power of God to rest upon us, praise the Lamb of God, that we might carry out our witnessing assignments. Praise the Lamb of God. Come on, son, lead us to the throne.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, how glorified and how awesome you are on today, Father God. Thank you for breathing life into us, oh, Lord. Thank you for waking us up, Father God, clothed in our right minds, Father God, focusing on you, Father God. Thank you for being first and foremost in our life, Father God. Thank you for being the Alpha and Omega, Father God. Thank you for being the beginning and the ending, Father God. Oh, God, thank you for being almighty in our lives, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for being the central place, Father God, the central focus, Father God, in all that we do, Father. And we lift up your name on praise on today, Father God. We glorify you and we worship you on today, Father God. We thank you for this prophetic day on the page on today, Father God. And when I pray right now, Father God, that the words that are spoken and prayed, Father God, manifest, Father God, like never before, Father, I thank you for prophet today, Father God. Thank you for his service, Father God. I thank you for his labor right now, God. And I pray right now, Father, for supernatural healing, Father God, to invade his body right now, Father God. Remove any symptoms, Father God. Begin to lift up, Father God, any burdens, Father God, that may come upon him, Father God. God, thank you. The man of God has continued to worship you, Father God, regardless of his situation, Father God. And we thank you for the leadership and the guidance, Father God. And God, regardless of whatever we're going through, Father God, we choose, Father God, to worship you on today, Father God, and to thank you for all that you do, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. I thank you for each and every person, Father God, that has participated in this fast so far, Father God. And I pray right now, Father God, that we continue to be built up in your word and your way, Father God, to shield the enemy, Father God, and his deceptive tricks, Father God, as attacks are coming from all kind of ways, Father God. We bind every attack, Father God, that has tried to come against us right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for your steadfast strength and your steadfast, Father God, power, Father God, that resides in us, Father God. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God, that guides us and directs us every day, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for sanctifying our eyes on this week, Father God, and blocking anything, Father God, that is not like you, Father God. Let us continue, Father God. Remove the film, Father God. Remove all the rubbish, Father God. Remove all the things that are not of you, Father God, that are blocking our view, Father God, and seeing the beauty, Father God, and how you manifest and how you work, oh Lord. Thank you for the beauty, Father God, of the sun and the skies, Father God, and the rain and the snow, Father God, and the flowers and the grass, everything, Father God, that you have created under the heaven, Father God, and we thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Father God. I pray for each and every intercessor right today, right now, God, and I pray that you strengthen them up right now, Father God, like never before, Father God. Move on the behalf of your intercessors right now, Father God. Strengthen us, Father God, like never before, Father God. Let our eyes and our ears, Father God, be keen to your word and keen to the situation that are rising right now, Father God, as we lay on our faces, Father God, and we focus in prayer, Father God, to lift up those around us, Father God, to lift up our families, Father God. Oh, God, I pray, say a special prayer for Dr. J right now, Father God, as whatever she's suffering with, Father God. I pray for healing right now in her body, Father God. I pray for healing, Father God, for each and every person, Father God, that may be in hospital wards, Father God, or in convalescent homes, Father God. I pray right now, Father God, for restoration, Father God. Father God, a deliverance right now, Father. I thank you, Father God, for those, Father God, who are in the streets right now, Father God, that don't know you, Father God. God, I pray right now, Father God, for supernatural, God, move on your people right now, God, to touch those, Father God, who need a spoken word, Father God. Father God, to reach out and evangelize to, Father God, for those who do not know you, oh Lord. I pray right now for holy boldness, Father God. I pray right now for authority, oh Lord. I pray right now, God, for your people right now to stand strong in the power, Father God, that you have bestowed upon us, Father God. God, let us go strong, Father God, in these 50 days, Father God, to God, for you can release, Father God, the supernatural and fresh oil, Father God, in our lives, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. We thank you, Father God. God, I pray right now, Father God, for unity and agreement right now amongst the saints, Father God. I pray now as we come on one accord, Father God, during this fast, Father God, that we will focus on you, Father God, like never before, Father God. You said in your word, Father God, that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, everything will be added to us, Father God. So as we seek you, Father God, and dig deep, Father God, and press in, Father God, into you, Father God, I pray right now, God, that financial prosperity, Father God, begin to rain down on your people right now, God. I pray right now, God, that marriages are healed, Father God. I pray right now, God, that families are strengthened, Father God. God, I pray right now, healing in every area, Father God, manifest in Jesus' name, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God. I pray right now for love and compassion, Father God, to continue to pour out of your people right now, God, as we reach out, Father God, and touch those, Father God, who may be, Father God, may need, Father God, may need help, Father God, may be lifted up, Father God, may need a word, Father God. God, let us set the atmosphere in our jobs, Father God, in our workplaces, Father God, in our homes, Father God. Let us set the atmosphere, Father God, for our children as they go to school right now, Father God. Let us set the atmosphere, Father God, on our bank accounts, Father God, on our futures, Father God. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we continue to live, Father God, and serve your purpose, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God, that we bind any fleshly and selfish ideas, Father God. God, that we continue to wipe the blindness over our eyes, Father God. God, continue to purge us, Father God. Continue to sanctify us, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God. Continue to protect us, Father God. God, I pray right now, God, for those in jail, Father God, those in hospital wards, Father God. I pray right now across the people of the world, Father God. I just pray for a supernatural move right now, Father God. I pray for your supernatural move right now, God. God, strengthen Prophet Shakespeare, Father God, so we can be able to pour into people's hearts, Father God, of today. And we take the word, Father God, and begin to let it manifest in our life, Father God, with boldness and power. Hallelujah, Father God. I pray for every administrator, Father God, today as you strengthen us, Father God. I pray for every person connected to PSIM, Father God, and today, Father God, international, Father God. I pray that we continue to dig deeper, Father God, and press in. I pray, God, for our families, Father God. I lift up right now each and every person that's on this phone line on tonight, Father God. Have your way on today, Father God. Use us for your glory, Father God. God, use us for your glory, Father God. God, we will continue to give you all praise, all honor, in your precious Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, Father. We thank you. We glorify your name, Father. We praise your holy name because you are so worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Father. Thank
praise
you, Father.
God.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Father.
Praise God. We give you glory.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
But I decided to step up to the plate and declare, because nothing happens until something is spoken. But we can stand on the promise.
Yes,
stand
on the promise.
Stand on the promise. Stand on the promise. And release. And release. And release.
Yes, oh God. Hallelujah, Father. The supernatural power manifests in Jesus' name.
Oh, God.
Move right now, God.
On,
have your way, God.
You
have your way, God. Hallelujah.
People of God, we thank God for our Son. Praise the Lamb of God here, Brother Brett, who has led us to the throne of grace, and we're so grateful for his presence today. I know I don't sound that good to you all, praise the Lamb of God, and but, you know, it's what it is. My God, I'm trying my best to deal with it and do this. Let me take you right quick, praise the Lamb of God, into the episode of the lesson that we were in yesterday. Today is Word Day, and, you know, we prophesy and stuff today, but we want to put some word in here right now. Scene there that we was looking at yesterday in Scripture in the Gospel of John, we saw this fish encounter. Jesus has a fish den on the bank. Peter and the sons of Zebedee and all are out fishing. They haven't caught anything. They obey Jesus by throwing the net on the right side. A miraculous drought comes in. And then Jesus questions back and forth to Peter about his love until Peter breaks and it hits his spirit in sorrow that what Jesus is really dealing with is his denial of him. What he's really dealing with is his position in the kingdom and what his assignment really is, and that is to feed the flock of God, the lambs and the sheep. We must all come to that place, people of God, to understand what God will have for us, what God desires for us to do in this life that we live. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. If you're walking around purposeless during this fast, you really need to get in the face of God and ask him to reveal his total will to you. It might just amaze you. Praise the Lamb of God. It might just amaze you what God, hallelujah, has to share with you concerning, praise the Lamb of God, the divine mission and the prophetic path that he has chosen for you already. I think, praise the Lamb of God, that a lot of us do not take time to deal with God. We deal with a lot of things in life, a lot of people we deal with in life and spend a lot of time, but we skip God, praise the Lamb of God. We skip our Creator, and we don't look at ourselves in the light of being here for a purpose, being here to do something, praise the Lamb of God, that's going to impact the society in which we live, so that God can receive glory. Hallelujah. And we must remember that, praise God. Hallelujah. Some people, you know, they go about, they want children, but they want children for naught. What do you want children for? I just want me some kids. I just want a son. I just want me a little girl. And then when you get them, praise the Lamb of God, you don't raise them properly. You don't raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Because you have no purpose. Your purpose, praise the Lamb of God, shapes your life. Your life is supposed to be shaped around your purpose, shaped around the divine purpose of God. And once that happens and you start coming into it, my son Brett here is a perfect example of having his eyes open and what have you, and God revealing to him an assignment on his life, and it changed his whole house. It changed his whole house as it relates to prayer, as it relates to what they talk about, what they share one with another, how they go at things now. It changes your whole life once purpose is found. And there's so many of us, praise the Lamb of God, that our lives would look like midday from midnight. Our lives would go from pandemonium to a paradise in our own eyes if we would just find the path that God has ordained for us to walk in and then walk in that path. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. My daughter Angel called me a little while ago, and she said, "Dad, I have the laugh of you of the day." And I said, "I don't feel like laughing, but whatever you have to say, go on, tell me." And she says, "Your granddaughter, Hadassah, was talking to her older sister, and her older sister was just going off in a tantrum and blah, blah, about something there at the house. And the youngest girl looked at her and said, told us, said, so sister, I'm going to tell you this right now. I am going to heaven when Jesus come back. But the way you acting right now, you are not going to make it. That's what I'm talking about, a three-year-old girl says to her sister. People, why is that type of dialogue coming out between siblings of that age? It's because that they are being raised in a home that has purpose. They're in a family that has purpose, and they're starting to realize their purpose within the family purpose. Praise the Lamb of God. And this is what we have to get to, people of God, so that we can change a generation, so that we can change the direction and the heart of these young people, praise the Lamb of God, and cause them to be the soul winners that we should have been, praise the Lamb of God, and need to be even today. Hallelujah. Yes, wow. Lord, we need to. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Hey, Prophet, I had a really odd dream last night. You don't mind? Could I share it with you? Because it was about children. I'm not going to mention the preacher's name, but I happened to be his armor bearer, and we were at this big convention or place, and as we walked in, you know, he was talking to me, and he had his stuff prepared, and as we walked in, we sat down and he started preaching, and then it seemed like it's. In the background was a whole lot of scandal. They were saying, this man is this man is doing this, and this man is doing that. And then all of a sudden, I saw a lady. I saw him sitting back smiling and grinning. Then I saw a lady taking the lead and teaching. And then I saw all these kids from every age group, from like young to old, all flocking to the pulpit stage area. And it turned into like a hip-hop concert or a music concert. And I've been asking God all morning. It's been on me since like 3 o'clock this morning. You know, out here, and I'm just like, God, what does that mean? Like, you know, all I could hear was scandal in the background about the kids, about his actions towards children. And now you're talking about children and process. I mean, purpose. And I don't know. Maybe you can interpret that or just give me a kind of a.
I know it seemed like there's a couple of things that could be going on there. One of them is that the scandal leads to someone else walking into a position of leadership, but that grinning and that laughing about it is really strange to me, that the woman was laughing or grinning, and then
no. The preacher was he like when he sat down in his seat with his legs crossed. And he sat back, and you know, as he sat back in his seat, it was like a level down. And
okay.
She got risen up, and he like smiled as they were talking about it. But he just was like laughing to himself, almost like. And then had this lady get up there, and she began to preach and teach or whatever, and lead a music session or something. And everybody was chatting, and had their hands raised, and the kids were being gravitated. It wasn't spiritual music at the time. It seemed like the music was changing, but it was almost like a trickery almost. Like it was set up to be church, but it wasn't almost.
What I'm saying to you is, when you describe the music, that the music changed, so it was like it changed to worldly music?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if it changed to worldly music, that wasn't good.
I know it.
So it's deception, some type of deception in the scandal. That when, you know, you're having a scandal, it's a deception to get the kids away from one person, so another person can take them and mislead them.
Mm.
And that's what it sounds like that you saw it in there. You know, it's a shame that a lot of the scandals, if you would, that's on men and women of God in this season brings them to a place of being broken, of being set down. And many times the person who comes behind them is worse than they were. And I've seen that many times. Many times. It's worse than they were. And then all scandals are not true. You know? Mm-hmm. All scandals are not true. Praise the Lord. They accused me of stealing all the money at the first church that I pastored in Chicago. And I resigned right behind the accusations in the meeting the next Sunday. I resigned from the church. After that, a pastor came in and robbed them of everything they had and went to California. The next pastor came in and robbed them of everything they had and sold the building and sold the churches no more. Sometimes the accusations of a lot of that is just about what you saw in that vision, and that is control. Somebody wants control so that they either can get their hands on the money, or they want control so they can get their hands on people to mislead them, manipulate them in one way or another. And that, to me, that was that type of dream or vision that you had. So just be careful out there, you know, where you are and where you're attending and what have you, because it dealt with kids. So you're going to have to be careful about your children, making sure that they are really in the right place under the right type of ministry.
Amen.
To make sure that that takes place. So, you know, that's something you all can be praying about to make sure, you know, some there could be somebody within the system that's going to kind of flip things over and what have you. We have, you know, we talked about this not too long ago, and then I'm we'll get back to where we were. But the craving for to save young people, the bait we use is worldliness. And that is to let them dress the way they want to dress. And what I went to the conference last night. The young girls, I'm telling you, the young girls, the teenagers, college age now, they skirts and pants were so tight until it was crazy. And this is what we have allowed, for them to be this way. And then the young boys are in church looking at each other, pointing at the girls, all this kind of stuff, because of this spirit that we have allowed to come in to get them to church. And then we have to keep a social, worldly, / spiritual atmosphere for them to stay with us, because this is what attracted them to the ministry. And we have to come out of this and recognize that without holiness, no man will see God. That's number one. Number two, if holiness is on the inside of you, holiness will come on the outside of you. At some point, you got to recognize that your body is a temple. At some point, you got to recognize that you can't do everything that the world does. And that's going into your you know, like I posted this morning about the eye gate, and you posted yesterday about the eye gate, the ear gate, how important these gates are to the believer in what we allow to come in. That's doing us damage. That's really hurting us, because we're looking at all this junk and we're accepting any and everything because we're being seduced. Seduced. All you got to do is think about if your great grandmother, and well, I'm 50 something years old, but if my great grandmother could get up out of the grave, who passed when I was, let's say, between 5 and 7 years old, if she could come and look at the world today and society today, she would probably take a gun and shoot herself and say, "Put me back in the grave."
Yeah.
That's how jacked up our world is. And we as believers, you know, we act like that what Jesus said, and I was going to that too. This is really good because of where I'm going, praise the Lamb of God, in these few minutes here that we have. What Jesus said to us that he would do for us, for believing upon his name, brothers and sisters, and getting into the path is nothing but power. He says, praise the Lord, in Mark 16:16, post-resurrection, it's the last post-resurrection saying, praise the Lamb of God, when Jesus is giving them the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, it's in the last chapters of John. All of the Gospels that record something similar concerning, praise the Lamb of God, Jesus leaving. But Mark, who is the first gospel writer, he wrote the first gospel, says, and it's in red, praise the Lamb of God, hallelujah, that he told them to go ye into all the earth and preach the gospel, teaching them, and whosoever believe upon you shall receive power over demons. They will be given a new tongue. It's right there in the Bible. Mm-hmm. In the Bible. And there's only one recipe for sin, and that's repentance.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one recipe for the lack of holiness, and that's repentance. When you get close to God, you really start seeing yourself as you really are. If you don't see nothing to change, then you have been duped by society into believing, really believing, that I don't have to make no changes. All I have to do is believe. The devil will lie with a bow tie on. The devil will lie with a bow. Believing on Christ continuously causes you to change, really brings you to the place of change. Too many of our young girls' son is getting pregnant in the church, mm-hmm. through the church. Too many of our young girls
mm-hmm.
are on Facebook showing their body parts. Too many of our young girls are on the web doing all types of things. And the boys are just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
The boys are just as bad. And we ain't got to get all into, you know, homosexuality and all that that's really going on that turns your stomach. But at the same time, we have to look at, praise the Lamb of God, why is our society this way? Why has the church become a place of entertainment and not a place of salvation and deliverance anymore? Why has it become a place, praise the Lamb of God, where we feel like we're in a social club? Why is it so social and no spirituality? We spend more social time in church than we do spiritual time in church. When it comes to our prayer meetings and stuff like that, they're down so low until it's crazy. You can't get people to pray. You cannot get them. It's hard for me to get them to pray on this show. Your people do not want to talk to God because it opens you up to recognizing the life you're really living. When you start praying sincerely, a light shines on you, inside of you, that starts revealing you to yourself. And you'd be like, no, I don't need to pray because I just cussed these people out over here. I don't need, yeah, you the one need to pray. And you need to start it with repentance.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing going to keep us on line with God. Stand in alignment. You know, I'm doing my next manual on alignment, prophetic alignment. And that's one of the key issues, is that the prophetic person must remain in a posture of repentance, always looking at themselves, always examining and evaluating and reevaluating the self, praise the Lamb of God, so that you can stay in a position that God can use you. But if you're not going to do that, praise the Lamb of God, and you just want to run with a title or something, then you're going to find yourself caught in a trap with the devil. You're going to find yourself, praise the Lamb of God, messed up with Satan. That Satan is going to be able, praise the Lamb of God, to trip you up, praise the Lamb, hallelujah, and mess your life up and all around you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. So prophet, as we hear prophetic words in our life and we hold on to prophetic words, the lack of repentance and self-examination, wouldn't that hold up some of the prophetic visions and words spoken on our lives?
Well, not only that, it holds up the prophetic manifestations of what God has spoken over your life. Some people just think God don't care and it's just going to happen to them and it's just going to come on and this, that, and another, but that's not the way God works. We got a caller. Let's see who this is. Eric Code 708.
Good afternoon, Prophet. Good afternoon, Brother Brett. How are you? This is Sandra.
Hey, Sandra.
Bless Sandra.
Prophet, I have a question. You're speaking of, you know, bringing our children up in the way that they should go. And my question is, for the single mothers that have young men, when you have no spiritual positive role models in your home, and you don't really have that many even in your church, how do, for a single mother, what should she do to find that spiritual positive role model to help bring up her son as a godly male, a godly man? My son is 30 years old, and I continuously took my children to church. I continuously had them getting up in the morning praying before they went to school, even to the point that one morning when I got up, I had gone to the bathroom, and when I came out of the bathroom, my children, before they walked out the door, one was kneeling on the floor by the chair, the other one was kneeling on the floor by the couch, and they were praying, asking the Lord to cover them and protect them before they went to school. But as my son got older, you know, I can only teach him so much. I can't teach him how to be a man. But I didn't have any spiritual males in my home because my brothers were not saved. The only one that was saved in our household was me. So for a single mother, what should she do?
Well, I mean, if that's a hard thing to say when there's no men available within the confines of your church home or what have you. One thing I think needs to be done is whoever is the pastor of the church need to be a meeting need to be called and say we need some male mentors due to the over. Population of single parents and those parents basically being women. We need some men mentors who are going to mentor our children in the right way, especially our sons. But unknown to a lot of women, your daughter needs that male figure really worse than your son.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter really needs that male figure in her life, someone who's going to a teacher, someone who's going to share with her, someone who's going to show her the love that's necessary to bring her to an understanding of male and female relationship and this, that, and another. She really needs that man presence. So the mentor works on both sides. The next thing needs to be done is that we need godly women within the confines of the church to come together and help these girls and teach them the way that they should. Pastor McCoy, Prophetess McCoy preached last night, and within her message, she was dealing with Boaz and Ruth and Naomi, and in her message, you know, she said that Ruth told Naomi to go and put on the proper dress and told her how, I'm going to tell you how to get your husband. Go there and do these things. Wash yourself. Put on your best garment. Fix yourself up. Smell good. Go there and do this and do that. Let your dress cover his feet. Something of that nature, you know. And we don't have that type of guidance. We don't have that type of woman mentorship, and it's due to a lot of different things. Number one, mom and dads are too young to be mom and dads.
Amen.
That's one of the biggest problems in our society, and even in the church, is when you see the girls that's having babies now, they are so young. They are children themselves.
Yes.
So the babies are raising babies. They have no wisdom. They don't have the wisdom to raise these children. They can't see that this baby is a tape recorder. That's all this baby is a camcorder. This baby is recording everything it hears and sees, and is going to spit it back out sooner or later.
Wow.
Going to spit it back out sooner or later. And that's something that we have to open our eyes to. That's something we have to really, really, really come to grips with and say, you know, if this is going to change, you know, we want to change children. Let me say this, without us changing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Light bulbs, we want to change. We want our kids to change, but we don't want to change. We don't want to change that. We want to say, I'm grown. I do what I want to do in my house. And when you get your house, you do what I want to do. But while you're in my house, this is the way it goes, blah, 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 blah. And then we do everything that should not be exposed to them in front of them.
Mm.
But we do it. I mean, if the lives would light up and I ask, how many parents on here has ever smoked marijuana in front of their children? It'll blow your mind. How many ever drunk liquor in front of their children? And just left the liquor in there? How many have had house parties of some type and just cussed and all kinds of things right over the children? Then Sunday morning you want to say, come on, let's go to church. Error code 864, your mic is hot.
Hey, Pastor, this is Sylvia. I have a question. What about the parents that, like me, for example, I wasn't in the church, and now I find it so hard trying to turn the ship and get my children on, you know, on the right path. Yes, a couple of years ago, maybe 12 years ago, we started going to church, but now realizing that I have a purpose and they have a purpose, and trying to feed that into them, I find it so hard and frustrating to turn it around.
I'm missing something that I think you're trying to communicate. Tell me that again in a different way.
Oh, okay. I was saying that before I was in the world, before, you know, I started realizing I have a purpose and that there's a call on my life. So my children, of course, so they've been...
You have these children then, when you were in the world?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So
and
now...
You've been a single parent all the time?
No. Mm-mm. The last 10 years.
But you were married?
No.
Well,
me and their father lived together. We was never married.
Okay, I got you. Okay, go ahead.
So now that I'm trying to, you know, make the changes, I find it frustrating and hard because I don't think they see that, or that they don't realize it. You know what? God has more for you than what you see right now, you know? Mm. And so I try to speak life into them, but I find it frustrating on my end to turn the ship around.
Well, you know, it becomes a difficult task when a lot of experiences unknown to us is in the child's heart, such as mom and dad is not together. One of your kids, how many children do you have?
Two.
Two. One of your children, or both of them, could be upset about that.
Right.
And the whole relationship, why my father is not here. My girlfriend, she comes to school, or she do this, and she always talking about what her dad has done for her. My daughter, so many young girls have asked me to be their godfather because of my daughter, and they tell me I don't have a father. My mother and my father split up or divorced when I was a baby. I don't know him. He don't come around. Would you be my godfather? And all of this is due to the admiration that they have for Angel and my relationship that they have, you know. And these young women and young guys especially. Now, the boy is worse because the boy goes into the cave of his mind, and he won't even talk about it. A girl will tell you, I miss my daddy, this, that, another. A boy ain't going to tell you that.
Right.
A boy is not going to tell you that. All he's going to start doing is rechanneling that energy to be hatred, to be rebellion, and to be doing things that he should not be doing, and it's because he's mad at his parents. But he'll never say it. Because he's mad at his parents. Hello, somebody. Praise the Lamb of God.
You're so right, Prophet, because my son, when he turned 21, everything came out. He was of legal drinking age, and he had gone out to celebrate his 21st birthday, and he had gotten so drunk. And he came into the house, and he started crying, and he woke me up. And the reason for him waking me up was he wanted to know, Mom, why was my father never there? Why did he miss out on 21 birthdays? Why did he miss out when I played my first basketball game? Where was he when I got picked for college scouts to come and look at me? And me being a single mother, I didn't have the answers. I couldn't tell him.
Right.
But that was 21 years of anger.
I was so upset for years at my mother because she missed my graduations. It was like they didn't, even though she bought all the clothes and all of that, and I had money in my pocket and I was sharp as a tack. When I walked out on that stage, I was looking for my mother, and she was not there. And that had a psychological effect on me for years. But thank God, coming out of grammar school, going into high school, that God's hand was on me. I joined the church, and the pastor immediately just grabbed me, anointed me. He was a prophet, and he saw the prophetic mantle on me. And he just, from the day one, he said, you're going to be my son, and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
And his last breath, I was calling him dad, calling him pop.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that type of should I say, discerning spirit, a hearing ear. And that's why it's so important, people of God, to bring yourself into the prophetic, as we're talking about in fasting and what have you, that the Lord would awaken your ears in the morning, that He'll awaken your eyes. You want to be close to God so that you can discern things and you can see things and you can look at what the real problems are in the hearts and in the spirits, even of your children.
Amen.
Because many of them have psychological problems and social problems because of their rearing. They're jealous. They're envious.
Hmm.
You can all the gym shoes and everything. You can provide for them. I've always gave them the best of everything. I've always did this, always did that. But he just, He just will not turn.
Mm-hmm.
He acts like I don't even care about him. He mad. There's something on the inside of him that has taken place that has never healed. He has a wound. And it could be from the cradle. It could be his toddler years. It could be his adolescence or when he grew up. He just said, this ain't right. But he or she never voiced it to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Never voiced it to the parent. The best thing you can ever do with children is get a talking and working relationship with them that they share with you. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the blessings that I have with the majority of my children. My oldest son is like, he out there on a planet of his own, so I don't even hardly mess with him unless he called me and started asking me for advice and things of this nature. But my other children, they're always there calling for advice. My son called me yesterday. Dad, I want to talk to you about some women problem I'm having. I said, okay, son. He said, you at church, we'll talk about it tomorrow. It's nothing pressing. And when you can keep that type of relationship with your children, when your daughter is interested in another boy and she come and tell you, when your daughter have sex for the first time and she slip and fall, she come and tell you and share with, she's not hiding stuff with you because you have that open relationship. You have an open relationship with them. It is not that you're their buddy or their friend, best friend or nothing. It's because you have allowed them to know that my love for you go beyond anything you could ever do. There's nothing you could ever do. I told my sons, I said, if one of you turn out to be a homosexual when they was young, I'm going to love you, even though I might not like what you're doing.
Amen.
Never doubt my love.
Amen.
Never doubt my love. But I might not be pleased at what you're doing. And this is the type of attitude. Boy, oh boy, my throat hurting. This is the type of attitude that must prevail in our society so that we can win our children and change, you know, a generation. We have really messed up, and I'm talking to mom and dad. Daddy, you absentee animal, you. You refuse to call your kids, refuse to visit, refuse to take care of. My daughter was over here, my youngest daughter was over here, came over here, spent a couple of nights this week, everything. Me and her talking, laughing. She on the radio yesterday, I didn't tell her to pray.
Amen.
She just says, hello to everybody. Has there anything you want to say? I want to pray, Daddy. I want to pray for the families.
Amen.
I mean, I'm looking at her in amazement. I want to pray for the families. It's the environment she's in. I hug some mother. Man, her mother is not together, but I hug some mother. I kiss her mother when I see her. Hey, how you doing, honey, blah, blah. Some things you do for the peace and the sanity and the sanctity of your child.
Amen.
Your child hear you on the phone cussing out their daddy and telling them your father, he ain't no good. That's why he ain't here. You are damaging the child.
Yes.
That's who you're damaging. And you may love him to death, but he wants the love of his father so bad and the attention of his father, he just started doing any and everything in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because all he wants is the love of his father. Reverend London, Lawrence London is not on this show right now because he wanted the love of his father just that bad.
Amen.
Until he went over to his ministry, he sat down with them at my behest. Go talk to your daddy. Stop walking around talking about him and go talk to him.
Amen.
Because talking about him ain't going to change nothing.
Amen.
He went and sat down, and now reconciliation, he over there in the ministry, wearing robes and doing ministry and everything with his father. and happy.
Right.
And
right.
That's the way we have to bring our children. It's not daddy's fault only that he's not here. It's my fault too, baby.
Amen.
I didn't want him here no more. He not here. He got another family. He don't care nothing about you. He did. That's not what you want to instill in your child's psyche.
Amen.
We got another caller. Two more callers. Erica 567, your mic is high.
Hello, everybody. LaShawn out of Toledo.
Hi, LaShawn.
Trying to keep up.
Hello.
Hello, praise the Lord. Trying to keep up. 3 points, if I may. One issue I think where we fall short is we're not mindful of the purpose of our lives, like you've been teaching, Prophet, and the purpose of our children. And to tie that in together, we're not mindful with who we're reproducing with, okay? And we don't look at the fact that there are generational curses linked up to each of us. We have to deal with. We don't peel back the layers like an onion, you see. And so we get caught up in, oh, well, why did he leave, or why is he doing drugs, or why is he drinking, or why is she not satisfied? Why? It's because you didn't do your homework. And we have to own it. We have to own that, those mistakes. Another thing about single parents or both parents or whatever the case may be, children, they want discipline. Most importantly, they respect consistency. And I've learned that consistency brings about dominion. So whatever it is that we are fighting against with our children, if you just apply consistency, I trust that God will give us all dominion over whatever it is that we're fighting against. Okay?
Amen.
Because he's not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. And so because he's given us dominion over the earth, everything that's in the earth we have dominion over. But it only comes by consistency. And so whether we're a single parent or a child have both their parents, we have a responsibility. Another thing is we don't spend time with our children.
Now, that's a fact. You're making me strain my voice. That's a fact. That we do not spend quality time with our children.
And because of that, they can't find their way. We're supposed to be the example before our own children, not the school teacher. Thank God for the school teacher. So it's us, the parents.
Or the church.
Is
that home?
How can we, right. We can't even look to the church because all of us, we're hurting people that haven't looked at the issues in our bloodline. You see what I'm saying? And we're just a group of hurt people, messed up people, deranged people coming together trying to worship this great God, but can't sort nothing out. Another point, see, y'all was saying a lot, got me thinking over here. You know my Holy Ghost be going. The man of God that said, looked at you and said, you're going to be my son and you don't even know it. I find that he was not intimidated by the gift that he saw in you. And that's the issue, again, that that we have in the church. People are intimidated, and you just said it. You said it right as I was writing, Prophet. They're jealous, and they don't want to teach, and they don't want to pass. I believe somewhere in the New Testament it says that the older generation, the older women are supposed to teach the younger, the older men are supposed to teach the younger, but that's not going on because everyone's intimidated of the younger's gift. You see what I'm saying? Okay.
And they don't want to accept the genre of life that these young people are living in today. When we were young, bell bottoms and naturals and all of that, the older people didn't like them. They didn't like our big bell bottoms, our platform shoes, and our glasses. They thought we had cracked up psychedelic shirts and all these different colors of stuff we were wearing, and they thought all of us was weed heads that dressed like that. And we have this ill taste in our mouth because a lot of the boys who wear their pants down and show their underwear and stuff like that, we just talk about them. But I know some boys that's in church that's dressed like that, and they say sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost.
And I can agree and believe that, but at the same time, you made a point earlier about how the young ladies were dressing. If holiness is in you, then holiness has to come out. Why? Because
exactly.
The great God that we serve is holy.
But the thing we have to do is continue to be an example. I look at one of Bishop Murphy's sons. He was coming up. This boy shaved half of his hair off and everything. Still walking around the church. Today, he married. He wears suits to church and everything. Why? Because the example and the pattern never changed.
Right.
At some point, I must grow up. At some point, I must become an adult. When you see a 55, 60, 65-year-old man still going to clubs and this, that, or another every weekend, it's one problem with him. He has not grown up.
Amen.
He needs to grow his old behind up.
Amen.
Recognize that he is a victim of a passing season. That your season have passed. And a lot of these women wearing these spandex pants and all of that kind of crap and showing all your cleavage, your season has passed.
Yeah.
Dress like a mother. When you have children, I must dress the example now.
Amen.
Right. That's real.
Hello, light bulbs.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think your children are not watching you. Every time you go out the door, you got on stilettos. Every time you go out the door, all your cleavage out. You got on the tightest pencil skirt you can wear going to the house of God. The only reason why we dress like that is because we want to showcase. We want to. And you ain't got no husband at home. When you get to church, one of the weaker men is sitting there saying, she wants some.
Amen.
Because you advertising that way.
Right.
God don't like the truth. I see that. Praise the Lamb of God. It's all. I got another caller here. Let me see what 773 want to say. Error code 773.
God bless the prophet.
It's a prophet on the line, people. I don't know what he going to say. Not my fault.
Amen.
This is on the air. Yes, sir.
I have a problem. I do have a problem with, you know, most of these young folks, the way they dress. You've been saved all these amount of years and years and years, and you yet still wearing your tight beanie skirts and, you know, and you can see the print of their panties and all that stuff. You know, it's crazy, you know. And we need more mothers of Zion. We don't have enough mothers of Zion in the household of God. And not only that, we don't have a lot of mothers of Zion, we don't even have a lot of real spiritual fathers out here. Because they yet, like you said, they trying to be young and all thugged out and everything. So, and it's just crazy. It's time for us to come up and come out, you know. We need some real mothers. We need some real men. There's not enough men in the church.
Fathers.
Any man got a child and won't take care of his child needs to be taken out back and beat until his brain turn on. Period.
That was random.
Any man, I said, I'm going to say it, you are less than an infidel if you're not trying to take care of your child.
That's what
works. You're paying child support and you working and making money and won't pay your child support, curse be you.
Amen.
That you won't take care of your child. Y'all quiet on the set.
Amen, prophet.
Amen.
You don't need a job if you ain't taking care of your children. That's the only reason why a man works.
Amen.
Take care of his family.
Amen.
And once you find the right mate and you taking care, I'll never forget. I was in my prayer garden one morning. I am not lying to you. I'll never forget. I was mad at my baby's mama. I said it. We had separated, was going through divorce, and the judge had told me how much to pay. I was so mad at her. I said, I'm not paying my child, so I ain't paying her. I wouldn't give her a dime to save her life. The Spirit of the Lord came over me and said, take care of your children, and I'll bless you.
Amen.
It's a blessing It's a blessing, praise the Lamb, for taking care of your children. It's a blessing in it, man. Praise the Lord. I hope a lot of men hear my voice today and listen to this sooner or later. It's a blessing being placed upon you because you take care of your family.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Running around sowing seeds, and these harvests of these little children coming up, and then you don't have sense enough and dignity enough to go by the house with pampers and what have you because you mad at their mama. I don't want to see her. So you ain't going to take care of your child. Something is wrong with your mind.
Amen.
Something is wrong with your mind. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And then some of these men get with other women after they leave this woman, have kids by her, and then don't take care of the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
As though they no longer yours because y'all divorced. Your blood is running through their veins.
Yes.
Or what about this one, Prophet? They'll take care of another man's kids better than they will their own.
Oh, yeah, they do that. Now, that they do. That they do. I don't understand that psychology neither. You got two kids you don't take care of, and then you meet a girl with three kids, and you in the mall shopping for them all.
Oh, my God, you out like my court, Prophet.
Stupidity at its best. I'm telling you the truth. That's total ignorance at its best, people of God. We must come to the place of change. We must come to a place of understanding and knowing God is not pleased with that mess. We have a responsibility. Gabriella's middle name is Noel, which means precious gift. And now she's at an age where she's saying, Daddy, I know you said that God gave me the name Gabriella, and you and Mom named me Noel, but I love the name Noel. I love what it means. It means precious gift.
Amen.
I'm a precious Amen. Gift.
Amen.
Precious gift to who? She a precious gift to me. And any precious gift ought to be taken care of. But all of our children are Noels. All of them are precious gifts. And when God bless you to have a child, you should, believers, wake up and say, I'm going to raise this child in a God-fearing way because God has entrusted me with this child.
Amen.
Amen.
And God will smile on you. God will smile on you. Hello, light bulbs. As for me and my house,
yes.
We will serve the Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. It's not worth the arguing, the fighting, and all of this in front of the children, the backlashing of mom and dad back and forth, all of this craziness because you all are not together. And the only reason why you're going through that is because you still love each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why that's going on, because you still love each other. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how to rechannel your love. You don't know how to adjust your love. Love somebody. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you jealous because she with somebody else or he with somebody else and what have you. And now, you know, you want to act like he the worst man in the world. He wasn't too bad for you to have a baby by him. I said it.
Amen.
Hello, light bulbs.
Amen.
Oh, look, I had a young man come to me, told me, him and his wife, I can't talk to her. I said, y'all have 9 kids together. Don't tell me y'all can't talk. Oh, y'all doing a lot of talking. 9 kids and you not 40 years old. Come on, you better, man, know who you talking to. That's crazy. We must do better as believers in understanding, praise the Lamb of God, the responsibility and the accountability that is placed upon us in the rearing of children. And when you look at the Old Testament and you look at Israel, they were given specific commandments by God concerning raising their children.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I say this all the time, we the only, and I'm talking about my ethnic group, and I am African American. We're the only nationality that I know that don't have a days and times that is set aside for our families. We're the only ones that don't have a care about the history of the family, that you can go in a home and see pictures of great grandma and granddad and everybody line up. The man who, the father of the baby should be on the wall if you're not married. So your child can grow up and say, that's your daddy right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, light bulbs. See, this is another thing that's plaguing our ethnic society, and that is when the children don't know their parent.
Amen.
That's an evil right there that I don't know from whence I came. That's an evil. Hallelujah. A picture of something, that's your father right there. Who pictures that, Ma? That's your father. That's my daddy, yes. And then you sit down and talk to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're alive, dead, in jail, whatever. You sometimes, if you do that, you can take the bad that's in the person and mean it for good for your child. But if you sit there and say, yeah, he ain't no good, never was no good, ain't nothing but a jailbird, blah, 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 blah. Instill that in your child and watch and see, don't they wind up going to jail?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's what we present to them. It's how it's presented to them. And our care, our love for them is supposed to be unconditional. I love you so much until you are never going to hear your mother and I fighting.
Amen.
You just don't hear it. If I disagree with something that's going on, then I will get on the phone when you are asleep or what have you and say, I didn't like what you said, this, that, or another. I'm telling you, I think I shared with you all before, it blew my mind that my mother, praise the Lamb of God, never shared with us that her and my father used to fight. I never saw it. I never saw them arguing and fighting. And she said, we always did when y'all went to bed. We would close the bedroom door. You know, back in the day, they had them big oak doors. You don't have them doors like that. And those solid walls, you couldn't hear nothing through.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and we had our battles, but we didn't let you all hear them. It wasn't your business what we were arguing about. Because a lot of times when you go into those battling positions and what have you, people of God, you got to know this, that sometimes the children take on that they the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you really got to be careful for, that the child think they are the problem. And then they start talking about, I wish I was never born.
Yes.
And that leads to a suicide mentality. Because they think they're in the way. They think if I wasn't here, mom and dad wouldn't be fighting.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. So it's easy for us to not accept responsibility. It takes a greater man or a greater woman to assume responsibility and be accountable for that child in all ways, every day of the week, and not some days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Every day of the week. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And when we do this, we will see the blessing of the Lord coming on us as a society, Praise the Lamb of God. I believe God is really displeased right now. I'm very serious. I believe God is mad and upset at all of this child killing. Where did this evil stem from? And don't tell me a television show.
Amen.
I've been watching Army movies all my life. I've been watching since I was a little kid, Combat, the cowboy pictures, Bat Masterson, and all of them. All, I ain't never grabbed a gun and go shoot nobody. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
What is this evil? Where does it really stem from? I'll tell you where it stemmed from. It stemmed from mom and dad not having time for their child. Did you let the TV raise them? See, the TV didn't raise us. We couldn't tell on the television, first of all, till homework was done.
Mm-hmm.
Then you couldn't turn it on till your house chores was done.
Mm-hmm.
Then it didn't cut on until we had family dinner, which accompanied family discussions. And no matter how bad you wanted to watch something, you couldn't watch it. The only way we could turn on that television is mom and dad wasn't in that house. You would run in from school and turn it on. But if they was there, you couldn't turn on that television.
Amen.
You know, and I shared this before, the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. I was taught, rehearsed, I had to recite them every day to my dad, and I didn't know what he was doing, but he was instilling something in me. Thou shall not kill. Thou shall not steal. He was instilling principles in us that would go with us the rest of our life.
Amen.
Whew, my God in heaven. My God. I'm, yeah. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. People of God, this has been great. This has been wonderful. I know somebody going to say, oh, prophet, don't do that. But I got to end the show right now. My throat is messed up. I got service tonight. I need to rest it and what have you. I love all of you guys, and I thank you for being here today. And I hope that you all appreciate the fact that I did come on the air today to try my best to give you some nuggets of truths and not just let the airtime go to waste or pre-recording or something of that nature. It's been a wonderful discussion. I love you all. Praise the Lamb of God. And if I rest my voice well, I just may be able to talk to you all tomorrow. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. Okay? I love you. I bless you.
Love you, Pastor.
Have a wonderful day. Praise God. I'm excited about your future and your now. Let us remember our prayer call on Friday night. Praise the Lord. Again, Neil Ellis, Bishop Simon Gordon tonight at the Silver Gardens in Southfield. Then Friday night, Bishop Neil Ellis from Nassau, Bahamas is going to be on high. And I have to be there almost sick or well. I'm going to really have to be real down not to go out the house to go, because I know my presence and what I do in the conference is needed. I love you all. I bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Love you.
Love you.
Rolled away. The sunshine is here to stay. My sins have been forgiven. Now I can move on. Do God's work and walk in victory. Faith has been restored. I was blind, now I see. The perfect will that my God has for me. I rejoice because I'm brand new. was blind, now I see the perfect will that my God has for me. I rejoice cause I'm brand new. Are over.